right, we're here with Nina, who is hosting a little Tuesday get-together.
And she has gone all out.
Yep, she's done the fancy charcuterie thing.
Look at those solid maple serving boards.
So classy.
And those gold room side plates? Gorgeous.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And she got it all at Marshall's for way less.
Even the cheese?
No, not the cheese, but that to-die-for sequin top.
Marshall's?
Yep, Marshall's. Fabulous brands.
Feel good prices at Marshall's.
Hey, bae. I think it's time we start to see other people. Hey, bae. I'm not serious about actually seeing other people, just so our audience knows. I know that's probably...
Yes. Yeah. Don't be trying to hit Henry up. He's not trying to see nobody.
I'm not trying to see nobody. So, but we're talking about open relationships today.
Yep.
And it's going to be very exciting because we have a special guest on the show who knows about all of this type of stuff. He's going to share some of his wealth of knowledge as far as relationships, specifically tonight, open relationships. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And who we have tonight is...
We have Kasan.
Kasan.
Kasan's on the show from Atlanta. Are you there?
Hey, I'm here. How you all doing? I appreciate you all for having me.
Yeah, we're good.
Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for taking time to come on to the show and just share a bit about it. I know it's crazy in Atlanta, and we just thank you for taking the time to come out. Kasan Downing is here, and we're going to talk. He's an expert in teaching, training. He's a trader.
He does it all.
Yeah, real estate, investing.
Yeah.
So we want to get this information from you today as we dive into open relationships, because apparently it's a big thing here in our time. So we're going to kind of dive into that a little bit today.
I appreciate you all for having me. I'm happy to be on the show. I'm glad that you all, you know, reached out to have me share, you know, some information about open relationships. And I'm definitely ready to dialogue and talk about it.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah. So we have some questions. We're going to put these questions out there, kind of see how you feel about them, kind of help us and help our audience kind of decide if an open relationship is something that they should even look at, or how do they deal with, you know, the whole topic of open relationships in 2021. So, Victoria, what do you have for us?
Well, first, I'm going to define what we're talking about. So open relationships, if you don't know what that means, that is like a non-monogamous relationship, or it's a non-exclusive, just various forms of so-called consensual multi-partner relationships. But what are your thoughts on that, Kasan? How do you feel about open relationships?
Okay, well, let me preface it by saying two things, all right? So the first thing I would like to say is that everything that I look at, just because of my beliefs and my connection with God, I look at through a spiritual lens and my understanding through the Word of God. So that's number one, right? I know everyone doesn't subscribe to that, but that's just for me, and everyone doesn't have to agree, and that's fine. But I will also speak for and to the points of those who don't necessarily subscribe to, you know, Christianity or godliness or anything religious, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And then the second thing I would like to say before I answer your question is that a smart man learns from his mistakes, and a wise man learns from the mistakes of others. And, you know, just through life, through my own trials and my own observations, this is what I think about open relationships. So they're not for everyone. I see that a lot of people are wanting to get into what they call the lifestyle, you know, poly relationships, even swinging and different things. There's so many different umbrellas under the whole open relationship dynamic. But I think a lot of people need to realize that it's not for everybody. You know what I mean? Just like I think monogamy may not be for everybody. The reason why I think open relationships is a no-go for me specifically is, number one, most importantly, the reason why so many people have failed relationships is because 90% of the people, and probably higher, 90% of the people that you come in contact with are just simply not for you, right? Some people can be good to you, but that doesn't mean they're good for you. You can have a great time and experience with someone, but long term, they might not be the right fit for what you need for your life, not just in a mental, emotional way, but most importantly, on a spiritual level. And that's where I feel like, as a world, we're kind of lacking in something we don't necessarily pay attention to. Like I said, most people you meet are not going to be good for you long term.
So what do you mean by that? Can you elaborate a little bit on that when you're saying that, 90% of the people that you meet are not for you? Just for our audience sake, why do you say that? Why do you feel like 90% or most of the people that you interact with are just not for you? Why would you say that?
Well, number one, God does everything purposefully. And I don't think, according to his word, that he necessarily made or will send multiple people mm-hmm. at you that are for you, number one, right?
Yeah.
And then as people in relationships, I think one reason it's so complicated, maybe it's the construct of our society, but we want a lot of things, you know what I mean? We want the person to be attractive. We want the person. We have attraction preferences under that. You want them to fit your financial needs. You want them to fit your sexual needs. You want them to, support you emotionally. There's just so many components, and you want them to be a good potential parent. There's so many things that have to line up between, two individuals in a relationship. And that's very hard and difficult and rare. And I know there may not be statistics on it, but just the fact that so many people go through the motions over and over or just don't find that often. Right. It's kind of proof that most people that you deal with aren't really for you.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And I actually agree with that too. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
Well, I read multiple times when I was looking online at other people that had open relationships, but it seems like for the most part, they truly believe that these kind of relationships are so-called happier than monogamous ones for the simple fact that it forces them to communicate better with their partner about their needs and desires. So therefore, their so-called needs and desires are met. How do you feel about that? Like, do you agree with that, Henry?
Well, no, because anybody being in any situation can easily say that this is better than the next situation or what have you. Mm-hmm. And just like Hans said, too, certain things are just not for everybody. Obviously, commitment is not for everybody.
Yeah.
You would think so. You would think that people want to be committed, but some people don't want to have to deal with a person and the responsibilities that come along with it, which is, I think, a big part of why open relationships are there in the first place.
But to me, that's kind of like an oxymoron. Like, you're saying you want to be in a committed relationship that's not committed.
Right. Well, that's exactly what that's the chaos of it. But that is why we're here today to actually talk about these things, because some people want to try to fit that into the mold. In other words, they want the benefits of a relationship,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want the love stuff that comes along with the relationship. Like, I want bits and pieces of you. I want the sex. I want, to be able to be free, quote unquote, all those type things.
Yeah.
But I don't want to take care of you when you're sick. I don't, but, you know, all that stuff.
But I'm saying, like, why wouldn't these people just choose to not be in a relationship, period? Like, why not just be out in the open? Why be in a relationship and out in the open?
Well, that's part. Well, let's ask Kasan that. Okay. You know, he's on the show tonight.
The reason why I think a lot of people want the relationship and to still have the openness so that they can kind of have like that single component, I think there's layers to it. Number one, I think first of all, a lot of people struggle with just being alone. Period.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people also know the headache of just meeting new people, having what they call rotations and managing, a team of people. I think a lot of people just want something firm and steady, like that primary partner that they can trust and get. They basically want the best of both worlds without me, going
around.
They
want their cake and eat it too.
They want that, monogamous energy on one side, but then they still want to be able to explore other possibilities at the same time.
Yeah, and it's I would say that's selfish too, at the end of the day. That could be pretty selfish, because love at the end of the day, we talk about it all the time here at the podcast. We talk about love being a sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's not just the
I want
thing, mm-hmm. or the beneficiary thing that we see on the surface. It's more than that. You have to love completely. And I tell guys that are, I tell guys that want to be in open relationships, there is no way that you can fully love two women. It's not going to happen. Because one woman is enough. Because it is enough to try to love fully one woman. If you're trying to do two, then you're going to minimize one or both of those women at the same time. But that's just me. What do you say, Kasan?
No, I totally agree. But at the same time, I think that some people are just wired differently, because I do agree that biologically, just our innate instincts and us as animals, I don't necessarily think that we're wired to be monogamous, because, you know, if you just think about from the early inception of being a baby, look at a baby boy. A baby boy will still rise during the diaper change, no matter who's doing it, right? And this may sound weird, but the whole point I'm trying to make is that before a child is even aware of themselves and what that is, they already have the genetic reaction to be excited from stimulation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, growing up into adulthood, that is still there within you. And a lot of people, their flesh speaks to them when they see what they like. Their flesh calls for it.
Yeah. Well, Henry, I think a lot of people talk about the pros, but nobody ever really mentions the cons. What cons do you think that there are? Well, being a non-exclusive relationship,
it not being exclusive. Two, you're never fully grasping the other person. Right, in a relationship, you should be merging into that other person, like their life, their styles, their behaviors.
Are you talking about marriage or like all relationships? Period.
Well, it starts at the relationship, at the beginning of the relationship, y'all start cute little stuff. Like you start to say the words that each other says, the little comments and stuff like that, mm-hmm. start to even dress alike, the cute little stuff. That's simple merging. Obviously, when you're married, you become this spiritual merging. That stuff starts to happen, which is deeper, more intimate, all of that type stuff.
Yeah.
But I think people also degrade sex so much at the same time, which is usually, not all the time, but usually the cause of open relationship, wanting to have an open relationship,
mm-hmm.
because I'm with a person, and I'm still missing something I want to try out.
Black political power is changing the direction of this country, because we're a voice of change and our votes have real power. We have the chance to make a difference again here in Virginia. We must elect leaders who will fight for better jobs, better schools, affordable health care, who will care about keeping us safe from crime and systemic racism, and support our families' needs to recover from the pandemic. Let's take action together. Vote early until October 30th or vote on Election Day, November 2nd.
Paid for by the NAACP.
Something else. And then they'll even try to put rules on open relationship. You'll hear that a lot if you're talking to people in open relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we have this rule. You have to wear a condom. It can't be somebody that we know.
It can't be in our house.
All of these things. Obviously, majority of the time, those rules are all broken and just shattered and all that stuff, because the bottom line commitment can't be there in that particular type of relationship. And that's the issue at the core.
Yeah. Well, Kasan, what have you heard any other rules for open relationships?
Yes, I have. And I think I can kind of tie it in, because I wanted to add on to some things that Henry said about cons, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you'll allow me a moment to kind of tie it all together, right?
Okay.
So, all right. So I think more cons that we can add on for open relationships. Again, when I said that 90% of people you meet aren't for you. Again, that doesn't mean they can't be good to you. It doesn't mean that they're not a good person, but for you specifically. I think one of the biggest cons is that you lose out on quality people, right? Because if nobody in the world can tell me that they're dating three people right now and they're all quality, like, no, they may have some good qualities. They may have some things you really like, but there's no way they're all overall quality for you to maintain
right.
a high level relationship. Again, high level, and a relationship that has some longevity to it. A lot of people have, you know, good moments for a short period of time, but what about, you know, greatness at, you know, years and years
right.
on end?
Right. Right.
I also think when you're dealing with multiple people, your ability to see certain things and discern certain things about these people lessen because your attention is so far spread out.
Right.
Of course, you have, you know, the possibilities of unwanted pregnancy as well as diseases. And then the one that a lot of people never want to acknowledge or be real about is spiritual soul ties as well as emotional soul ties, you know, and genetic soul ties as well. The soul tie itself is very layered, and that's not something you want to create with a bunch of people.
Right. I agree with that.
Right. And a lot of times, well, people will try to make it seem like, and it may be true to a degree that men can just shut it off, all the body count that they have with women and stuff like that. But from time to time, they'll think about an ex or desire an ex, and all those memories are there. The mind is so precious, and so uniquely designed. It's best not to even have those memories come to you in the first place, so you don't create the memories. And then also, just to piggyback off of Kasan as well, you have to think about, cause most people in any kind of polyamorous type of relationship think that they're being free.
Right.
They're free to explore and exchange and do all of these things. But I take the opposite route on that and say that there's more freedom in the commitment portion of it because you're free to be who you are and what you are with that one person. Now that's one person. Yes, I get that, but you're free to explore with that person. And if you're committed to that person knows that they can have the best of you and the worst of you, same vice versa with them. And you're still committed to actually trying and working on the marriage, hopefully, but the relationship period, you know? And I think that is where freedom really lies. Cause like I said, you can't fully give yourself to multiple people. Mm-hmm. You're going to give them bits and pieces. They're going to know the good about you, the great about you, but they're not going to know all the fullness about you and still love you. Right. That's where the commitment portion comes in.
Yeah.
To add on to the question about the rules, right? So, honestly, I believe if you're going to go that route, because like I said, I want to attend and address the people who don't want to subscribe to, you know, monogamy, you know, spiritual law. For the people who are just going to go rogue and do their thing, if you're going to be in an open relationship, I don't think you should have any rules.
Right,
and
yeah.
The reason why I say that is because, again, it's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction. Yeah. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to be broken anyway. And the fact that there are rules, you know, hint at that jealousy factor, yeah. Which I think for a lot of people is just an innate behavior. It's something in us that makes us hate seeing our partner, you know, happy, satisfied, interacting with someone else. And a lot of times, yeah. You know, like you mentioned earlier, people say, oh, not at our house, or don't spend the night with them, come back home, or use a condom, or I don't want you kissing them, or this, that, and the third. But at the end of the day, you find a lot of rules tend to be broken. You find a lot of sticky situations, even if everything's going well and both people are, you know, well, so to speak, strong together and they're still doing their thing. There's always like a scenario where something happens and somebody gets mad. Oh, well, you got them this for their birthday and you never bought me this before. It's always just like some little small mental hack that happens where a person feels inadequate over right. something, and that's where things start to kind of collapse and dissipate.
Yeah. Oh, and women are agree. Territorial too.
Women are very territorial. You better not play.
Men have that like respect thing too. Well, like if you we won't get into all that, but
let me touch on that.
Okay.
Because what's unpopular, and So obviously I deal with a lot of people and I talk to a lot of people. But if you look at the men that are usually in open relationships, mm-hmm. they're usually beta type of men, not really alpha type of men. I don't think I've yet to see an alpha man in an open relationship unless he's the one, the outside person coming in to mm-hmm. really have sex with the woman type of thing. Not to go deeper into that whole type of sexual relationship, but it's, I haven't seen an alpha man as the primary quote unquote guy in the relationship. He's more the guy that comes in, kind of gets
the side dude.
Yeah. Gets the physical going and then kind of out, while the beta guy is more the, you know, I'm down with it. I'm still the one that lives with her and, you know, take care of this type stuff.
Okay.
Type thing.
Emotional tampon. Yeah.
Just like,
but listen, I think alpha guys do participate in this for two reasons. In addition to the angle that you said, I think one, a lot of them know that they are not capable of being faithful or committing as well. So I think they might find that one woman that they think is more special and they tell her, well, look, you know, you're the one, but you're not the only one. And they may do that, mm-hmm. or on the side, they're more likely to just stay single, as Victoria suggested earlier, you know, just be single and do your thing versus just trying to be, you know, so-called committed to someone and still trying to do your thing. I think an alpha male is more likely to go that route. Gotcha. And I guess that's sort of an open relationship in some sort, if you're consistently dealing with someone yet not committed.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a good point.
Yeah. And I want to share kind of like a story, I guess. It was about a husband and a wife that decided they wanted to be an open relationship. Mainly it was the wife's idea, and the husband thought that she was playing with fire, but he decided to go with it anyway. I guess he'd be labeled as one of, what would he be, alpha or beta?
Well, that would be more of a bait. If he's more of, hey, I'll go along with it.
Yeah.
Because you brought it to me.
Right.
And let me say this, because, you know, because we're laughing, right? But it's so serious, because sometimes in relationship, you have one person in the relationship that is so committed to it, mm-hmm. and so valuing, actually wanting the love, like, or actually in love with it.
Yeah.
That they would submit themselves to that type of degradation in order to make the other person happy.
That makes sense.
That can be really ugly, really.
Yeah, like what they're willing to do for it. That makes sense.
Well, I definitely think that's a good thing to expound on when we talk about reasons that people even get into this, psychology behind it. Because I think a lot of times, people who subscribe to the lifestyle of open relationships feel like they're often scrutinized and judged by those who are, you know, pro-monogamous. And I think a lot of times monogamous people don't necessarily take into account all the reasons that people do decide to, you know, open things up. And logically, there is, you know, some logic and argument for why people tend to want to even, you know, lean that way, especially in this society we're in now, where, you know, morals are going out the window every day, and America's telling everybody you can be whatever you want to be. You know, you don't have to be your gender. You don't have to be a lot of things. So, I think you don't have to be monogamous is the new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. And that is that's a very good point. And we won't get too deep into that. This is not the podcast for it, but that's a very, very good point. Maybe we should have him on again and talk about that particular thing too. Because that's an entirely big podcast in and of itself. And like I said, there's so many sexual vices and so much that's happened with sexuality around open relationships. There's, you know, and then this whole cuck lifestyle. I don't know if I can even say that word. If that's a bad word to even say, I don't know. Forgive me. But there's so many different lifestyles that people are into, because I think people are looking for validation and completeness through sex a lot of times, and that kind of creates that whole open relationship dichotomy for people.
I think that's one aspect to it, but I think by this point, it's just all about lustful greed, you know what I mean? Because, you know, the word says that you'll never be able to satisfy your flesh, and I believe it simply because if you think about everything pertaining to the flesh that a lot of people do, there's a never-ending need for it. So, for example, a person who likes to drink and or smoke, eventually they want to get high or drunk again. A person who likes to eat in excess or even just eat, you're going to get hungry again. A person with the high sex drive, they're going to get horny again. So I think a lot of people feel like they can feed the monster by having the option to be with multiple people. But I think by and large, it just increases. And I think, you know, with people, you know, living and just having different relationships and hookups and dating culture and the advent of porn, I think a lot of that just increases that desire and pushes it to new peaks to the point where they get to a point where they're like, oh, I can't be committed because I want to do this, this, and this, and this doesn't align with commitment.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point.
That makes perfect sense. That me and Henry, we've talked about that before too, like, that being just a never, kind of like.
All right, we're here with Nina, who is hosting a little Tuesday get-together.
And she has gone all out.
Yep, she's done the fancy charcuterie thing.
Look at those solid maple serving boards.
So classy.
And those gold room side plates? Gorgeous.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And she got it all at Marshall's for way less.
Even the cheese?
No, not the cheese, but that to die for sequin top.
Marshall's?
Yep, Marshall's. Fabulous brands.
Feel good prices at Marshall's.
You might have noticed a change in your neighborhood lately. Yep, Sprint stores are now T-Mobile stores. Now that Sprint is T-Mobile, you get more coverage, value, and benefits than ever before. We've invested billions to bring our 5G from big cities to small towns across America. And great coverage is just the start. From high-speed mobile hotspot data to weekly deals and giveaways, our customers get tons of great benefits. Head to your new T-Mobile store to learn more.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Coverage not available in some areas. Some uses may require certain plan or features. See T-Mobile.com.
A slippery slope is just like a never-ending chase first in. But as far as this husband and wife that I'm talking about, like I said, the husband said, you know, no, we're playing with fire, but okay, I'll do it anyway. And she apparently, like, she had a happy marriage and a good husband, but she wanted more. She wanted fun. She wanted adventure. And she wanted to sleep with her boss also.
Oh,
so
I think she got a promotion.
Right. Well, anyway, her friends at work encouraged it. And the wife went after that guy that she worked with, and he was engaged. And, you know, I don't know how long this went on, but he was using her and decided to stay with his fiance. So once she realized that, you know, she was just a cheap thrill and she wasn't going to get, I guess, where she wanted to with him, I don't know. Then she decided she wanted to close the marriage back up. But by then, the husband had already moved on to someone else.
Oh, man.
And so I just feel like no one has ever helped their marriage by stepping outside of it.
Right, right. That's crazy.
And I would like to even add on to that from a situation I'm familiar with. I know a guy who, at the time, he had two female friends. The three of them were all just like friends who, you know, at the time were all just free and wanted to try something out. Mm-hmm. And they tried to do some sort of triad. I believe that's the terminology they use for it in that lifestyle. Yeah. And long story short, all three of them ended up cheating on each other. Wow. And there was a lot of competition between the two women in the relationship. And although they all agreed that they would, you know, honor and respect one another and be real and communicate, that wasn't what happened. You know, the girls were going behind each other's back, trying to get more time with the guy. Each girl had other guys on the side. The guy had other girls on the side. And, you know, it just goes back to rules being broken as well as jealousy. Because another thing about human beings is that we're very much, pro self-interest and self-preservation. A lot of us, you do have people who are a little bit more selfless than others and are willing to kind of put other people first. But by and large, a lot of people are going to do what's in their own best interest. And when it comes to dealing with other people, not only will they do what's in their best interest, but if what's in their best interest is going to hurt the other person and make them lose what they have, then they're more prone to be sneaky and lie, you know, which is going to be the same thing as being in a monogamous relationship and having the same problems.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you said that like these people, like they had set up some rules and stuff, but then the rules, those rules got broken. But I feel like it's easier to hypothetically speak about what will happen in the future before it happens. So if you're like, oh, you know, if I'm at a guy's house and I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do this, like you're saying that before you've gotten in that situation. And like, you don't know what that situation will bring once you put yourself in it. And so I think that also makes it hard for, or it makes
and
it easy
just
for rules
to add on to that. I think a lot of people don't know how strong that emotional reaction is going to be in that moment. You even take something, we don't even have to go as far as an open relationship. We can even just talk about monogamous couples wanting to try stuff like threesomes, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people have fantasies that sound exciting and then they get in the moment and their emotions, you know, conflict with that desire. And then next thing you know, everything just goes up in flames and then they have problems from then on.
Of course. Yeah. I call it panty power. Okay. And I call it panty power. And no matter how strong, especially from a guy's perspective, no matter how strong you are, you want to make sure that you don't put yourself in a position in the first place to even have to deal with that level of temptation. Mm-hmm. And speaking for me, in my life, all the years on this earth that I've ever been in, I've always tried to be strong. And throughout my life, if I've gotten to the point where I saw the panties, I did not do what my superpowers thought I would do as far as just rejecting and just walking away from that temptation because of the panty power. Mm-hmm. You've put yourself out there so far. It's incredibly difficult at that point to just say no or turn around. And women, generally speaking, women don't take no. And society tells them that you don't have to. You don't have to say no. There's no. Right. They don't go for that. So just out of that whole situation altogether is what I would say as far as that relates.
I was going to say, do you feel like trust is possible in these non-exclusive relationships?
To a degree, it can be, but fully no, because, like he said, you're sharing so much with other people, and it's not the two people that, when you have two people that are in a commitment, that's two people in a commitment. If you throw anything else in there, then the math starts to work. Basic numbers start to work, and it makes it very, very difficult. And if one person is hurt, then, you know, you create a weird space where, okay, maybe I don't want to hurt this person, so I'm not going to tell this person. Trust is starting to be broken, right? Yeah. Or I had sex with somebody and I don't want this person to know this. It just creates a monster. Anything with three heads is a monster. Fact. So you just don't want to deal with that. And like you said, women are very, very territorial and they command a lot of attention. They deserve, let me say that too, they deserve all of that attention. And it's hard to just to divvy that up. And then you have the case sometimes too where it's two dudes and all this type stuff too. And then you have to deal with that whole space too. It's a bad idea as far as I see it, as far as trying to trust in that particular space.
Okay.
Well, again, you know, some people are going to do what they want. And I think fundamentally the idea of trust can be present there, just like it can or cannot be in a monogamous relationship.
Agreed.
But I think with more people being involved, trust is a lot easier to manipulate or be in doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, all it takes is, like I said, that one trigger moment from another person that you're aware of. Even, for example, even if, like, let's say somebody, two people are in an open relationship and, you know, they're both in the know about what the other person is doing. All it takes is a moment for someone to feel insecure or jealous about, you know, what they saw or heard, and then the trust is going to start to be in question from
there. Yeah.
Or all it takes is for one person to break a rule that they had, and now the trust is in question again, or it's broken.
That makes sense. I got a quiz.
Okay.
Ready? Pop quiz.
Let's see the quiz.
Pop quiz. Okay. What percent of the U.S. has been in a multi-partner relationship?
I'm going to let Kasan answer that.
I'm going to guess about 78%.
Dang. Henry, what do you say?
How many have been in
what a... What percent of the U.S. has been in a multi-partner relationship?
I'm going to say 38%.
You're close. It's 21%.
21. Okay. Well,
but then again, that's people right, that
well,
claimed
I'll
it.
I'll say that just because I know that infidelity is like every survey number one and two for the reasons why marriages fail. And I think that cheating is a form of open relationships, whether it's known or not.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with Kasan on that one and say, yeah, that's true.
And I think that's why a lot of people are starting to subscribe, because I think so many people have experienced or even observed cheating in some capacity, whether they were the ones who cheated or got cheated on, and they feel like this is a way to avoid and eliminate that. But what they don't realize is that people can still cheat in, you know, open relationships or polygamous or polygynous situations when they go against the rules that they set forth with their primary partner.
And let me say this too. There are some really talented sex partners out there. Really, really talented quote unquote lovers out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are, when they delve into the open relationship space or the cheating space, they are encountering expert porn star type of sex with these people,
mm-hmm.
right? And that creates a legendary status in their minds to a degree. Oh, I just stepped out and this guy was, you know, he was doing a centipede right on top of me, or this woman, you know, she did the cartwheel spin, hang off the ceiling fan, plop type thing. You know, all of that type stuff. And we automatically give validation and value to these people because of a physical thing that they can do from mm-hmm. for whatever 5 to 30 minutes of the sexual encounter. And we create this big thing for them. So that is out there.
Right.
And that just adds to what I said earlier about discernment and being able to see all of their qualities, because a lot of mm-hmm. people, you know, when they're under the emotions of sex, they can easily be fooled by other things that they need to be paying attention to. And the next thing you know, they're not privy to those things. Mm-hmm. And then they feel blindsided when things go left, when all along it was there the whole time.
Mm.
Right.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
Well, okay. So for those of you, like how you mentioned it, those that, that are not subscribed to the things they were subscribed to, if we're being called closed-minded for only wanting exclusive relationships, what is your response to those people?
I don't have one, because the Bible says if a man wishes to be ignorant, let him.
I love it. All right, Henry, what about you?
I'm gonna piggyback off of that and say, this without trying to be too preachy, forgive me. But when God was creating the earth, light, boom, good. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing, right? The animals, boom, good. Man, boom, good. You know, oxygen, all of this stuff is like, boom, to create the whole entire universe is good, good, good. And then later on, he says, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing.
Yeah.
Look at that comparison. The world, the entire universe, and her.
Mm.
That's a serious uniqueness. You know, she is your universe. She is your world. She is your air. She is your... Get it?
Yeah.
So that is some uniqueness in that. So I, if I'm talking to somebody about that, about where they should throw their relationship status, it's into that commitment into marriage. That's what I would try to get people into. And just like Hassan says, I know that that's a little different in 2021, and everybody mm-hmm. doesn't really fall into that. And I get it, because we're in an age of everything is quick and everything is now. If I want a date, I just hit the button on my phone and boom, date. If I want food, boom, hit my phone and the food comes to me. You know, we live in that particular type of world. I get it. But if we can get people to slow down, to pause and see the value in actual committing to one another, the relationship portion of it, whether that's in relationships or actually in friendships or whatever, if you can just take a pause and actually see the value in the person that is next to you,
right,
then you can see some certain things. So,
okay, so I want to challenge you guys with a thought and a question, because I was kind of talking about value earlier, right?
Yeah.
And value is subjective for every person, because everyone doesn't value the same thing. So one
right.
person,
mm-hmm.
you know, the last person they dated could have valued them for different reasons than
mm-hmm.
the person they date now values them. So what would you say to the people who, again, are not subscribed to our program and way of life, that say, well, I just want some variety, because you're never going to get everything you want in one person, or it's very rare to find that. Like,
right.
you know, I hear this a lot from women too. A lot of women feel like from the pool of men, the guys who have, you know, the physique,
mm-hmm.
the sex game they want, the penis game they want, the
yeah.
money they want. But he doesn't have the emotional side or the financial side, you know, the
right.
Holy Trinity, the physical, the right. financial, and the emotional for a woman. A lot of women feel like they can't get all three of those from, you know, the same guy. And even men, a lot of times we feel like the woman who's sexually charged in the way we want isn't as loyal as we want. But the nice girl who's loyal and loving,
mm-hmm.
she's too clingy, or she's not as fun. She's boring.
Right.
So what about people who say they need variety?
So that kind of reminds me, like, when I was making my list of, like, a dream man or whatever, like, you know, when I was 15, 16 years old, I literally had a list, and I would keep adding onto that list with every relationship that I had, because I realized, like, ooh, I did not like that in that relationship. Let me scratch that off this list, or let me add this to the list or whatever. So, I started to think, like, okay, where am I going to find a man that has all the stuff on this list? And where am I willing to compromise? Like, which things are okay if they're not on there? And it really boiled down to, like, a lot of the stuff, things can be added on. Like, someone can be coached into becoming a better leader. Or someone can be, someone can be around the gym and they can work on their physique and stuff like that. But, you know, you need to focus on the fundamentals, the things that, like, have to be there, and then everything else can grow. Like, your money can be gone in a day.
That's true. Yes.
Or you can, you know, you can grow your money with your partner.
Right.
You can grow your spirituality with your partner. You can, like, a lot of these things are not just because that's what the values are at this day one of this person, doesn't mean that that's where they're going to be year 10 or whatever.
Right.
So I don't think you're going to necessarily find someone that has 100% of everything that you need on day one, but just find who has what you can work with and then grow from there. So if your partner, if you're wanting variety and your partner has, they have almost everything, but they're not fun and they're not, you know, they got a little belly flap. Okay, well, you know, you guys can go on, you guys can go to Planet Fitness up the street for $10 a month, and y'all can work out together, and it could be a bonding experience. You guys are doing a physical challenge together. And then start to communicate about, you know, what do you like to do for fun? What do I like to do for fun? How can we compromise and do fun things together, and then get out and do that kind of stuff? But I just think people can change and grow.
Yeah.
I agree. But I think there also, which a lot of times may not always be the case, I think there has to be a willingness on both sides
yeah.
to adapt and change certain things. And I think there's a thin line, because I always tell people, find somebody who fits what you want and you fit what they want, so that there isn't a need for too much compromise, because it's out there. And I think once you find it and realize, wow, I can really be myself and still love and be loved, you have a whole different outlook. Yeah. But I think a lot of people get with people with certain things they don't like, but then they want to change it themselves or hope it'll change later. And it doesn't always work out that way. And then you have people who want to change certain things about their partner. And, you know, people on the outside or even a partner themselves will say, oh, well, you shouldn't try to change them, or they shouldn't have to change for you, or I shouldn't have to change for you. Or why you are? And so it's a very thin line on both sides between being willing, because I think there is a lot of sacrifice and change that comes with being with someone. But at the same time, you shouldn't try to completely alter a person either.
Yeah.
Because they were meant to be themselves, not what you want them to be. So if they're not what you want them to be, then you need to look elsewhere.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, if someone has a, like, 10 qualities that they want in their marriage partner, and, you know, they come across someone they're dating and they have two of those qualities, you should probably move on to somebody else. But if it's, you know, kind of up there, like 7-ish, 6-7, 8, then, you know, maybe that's something you can work with and grow on. But as far as, like, you know, trying to force someone to change, I don't think you should force someone to change. I think, like me and Henry talked about in an earlier podcast, you can love them into that place. Like, like me and Henry, when we first got married, I was very selfish. I was a selfish lover and I was a selfish server. So anytime, you know, Henry was like, oh, I need a back massage, my first thought was, well, he didn't give me a massage, so why should I give him a massage? You know, I wasn't giving in a, like, a unconditional, I just want to give, I just want to serve. I wasn't there yet. And Henry, I'm sure he had his issues. I don't remember what it was. You didn't have too many. You were almost perfect when I met you.
Well, look at that.
but anyway, I had to, so there was some changes that I wanted to see in Henry. And instead of nagging him about it and trying to get him to change it, I changed those things about myself. And it, in turn, it, like, subliminally triggered something. And he saw what I was doing and he put forth that kind of effort. If that makes sense. Like, my change, like me trying to change myself and work on myself, made him better.
I think that happens a lot in relationships too. When you just take the lead to be better, your partner will respect it because you're leading by example, and in turn inspire them to do the same.
Yeah.
As we get ready to close it, I'm a leave with this thought from Bruce Lee. He said, "What?" He said, "Be water, my friend." And what he was saying is you have to allow the water to run, all right? If it's running, you flow with it, right? But water can be powerful. If you go against it, it can be powerful if it starts to rage. There's a lot you can do with water. Water is a sustainer of life as well. So you have to see it in its state and flow with the water. I think naturally we are all builders and creators in some aspect. And of course, I see marriage as a blueprint for that stuff. It may not be perfect, but you have the blueprint to build on. Right. Whatever it is with your spouse, you know, one has hammer, one has nails. You can build some stuff. Go find some wood together and actually build some stuff. And just like Hassan said, that you have to look at how do you define value and where do you place value, and know that for you and the person that you're with too. So I think you guys said both great points. I really value them. Thank you. I value y'all's points. Look at that. See?
Really? Well, Hassan, we enjoyed you on the show.
We have enjoyed you. Yeah.
You're definitely going to have to come back.
I enjoyed being here, most certainly.
Yes. So where can our listeners find you on social media? And, like, what is there anything that you want to share with them about stuff that you do?
Most certainly. You can find me on Facebook at CD The Conditioner. If we just type that in, CD The Conditioner, you'll find me. I'm like the only one on there. Instagram and Twitter, I go by Kasani. That's just my name plus NY, because that's where I'm from. That's spelled C-A-S-U-A-N. and why. You can also find me on YouTube. I battle rap. I go by my government name, which is Kasan, C-A-S-U-A-N. If you just type in Kasan Versus or Kasan Battle Rap, you'll find a couple videos on there and you can check me out. I do fitness videos on my Instagram page, and I'll be dropping a lot of gems on, you know, financial endeavors for those looking for financial freedom throughout 2021.
That's cool. You are a serial entrepreneur like us.
I like it. I like it. We have enjoyed you again on the show. We'll appreciate it. We'll let you get out of here. We know you're a very, very busy man. Thank you for sharing the information that you gave to us. And definitely the different viewpoints from varying things. All that stuff is important when you're talking about relationships and stuff like that. So we will let you get out of here, man. But again, thank you so much for sharing the spotlight with us tonight here on My Relationship Thing.
Well, certainly. Thank you for having me, and you all have a great evening.
You too. Bye. Thank you. Oh, man, that was good.
That was great.
Yeah, that's some good stuff. So we need to ask our audience a question so that they can answer on our Facebook, My Relationship Thing, and Instagram, too, which has really picked up a lot on our Instagram,
My Relationship Thing, too.
So what do you think? What should we ask our audience? Should it be just as simple as, have you ever thought about being in an open relationship?
Yeah, we can keep it like that.
I want to know that, you know, not that you have been in an open relationship or not or whatever, but I want to know if you've even thought about being in an open relationship.
Now, be careful, because don't put anything online that you don't want your partner to see.
Jim, like, whoa, wait a minute. Barbara, I've been thinking about it too. Yeah, no, I was just kidding. No. Okay, well, I will leave our audience with just a tidbit of information for you guys. Thank you again for joining us. But open relationships are not something that you should take lightly. It is very serious. If you're into the space of wanting commitment and love, I think it's very, very important that you think about the actual commitment portion of it. That's what relationship is built all on. That's what love is built on. The biggest type of love, as we always say, is sacrificial. What are you willing to sacrifice for the person that you truly love? How much do you care about them? Where are you willing to travel with them? What you're willing to do for them is all centered around commitment and sacrifice. My Relationship Thing. Have a good night.
You might have noticed a change in your neighborhood lately. Yep, Sprint stores are now T-Mobile stores. Now that Sprint is T-Mobile, you get more coverage, value, and benefits than ever before. We've invested billions to bring our 5G from big cities to small towns across America. And great coverage is just the start. From high-speed mobile hotspot data to weekly deals and giveaways, our customers get tons of great benefits. Head to your new T-Mobile store to learn more.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Coverage not available in some areas. Some uses may require certain plan or features. See T-Mobile.com.